Thanks, everyone. So, note to self, don't follow Scott Taylor. Scott, great talk, great way to open up the day. So thank you. So my panel, and we're going to talk about interoperability, and we're going to talk about cross-platform advertising. So my subtitle on this is, Are the Silos Down? And before we talk about are the silos down, I want to confirm the theory with my panelists. You know, so I want to introduce my panelists. Alana Gombert, who is the Senior Vice President of Technology and Ad Operations for the IAB and General Manager of the IAB Tech Lab. Chris Pizzurro, who is Head of Business Development, Sales and Marketing for Canoe Ventures, over on the far end. And Greg Smith, who is Chief Marketing Officer of the Team Companies and the founder of the Ad Consortium. So, start off with just a general question to the panel. We talk about silos of terrestrial media and digital media. And we all hear about cross-media and cross-platform, and we still think in the world of silos, but are the silos coming down? Are they coming down?
I'll start. I voted, by the way, my little sticker. No, they're coming down very slowly. I come from the digital world, and I'll say that yesterday we had a lovely ad ops conference, and Clyde over there in the corner was nice enough to come and talk to us about his mission and his past missions and what he's been building in the space. And the digital folks don't understand the broadcast world. They don't have the terminology, they don't have the workflow, even file formats, audio encoding, all of the things that everyone takes for granted in the broadcast cable world and terrestrial world, is not really as important yet in digital. It's happening, we're going to force it, but that's my answer.
Chris?
Yeah, I agree. Coming down, yes, ing is the important part. I think there's finally recognition of Scott just presented, someone helped me with this a little while ago, and that was some of us have been working on this for 10, 12 years, so it just seems like, aha, no kidding, right? But for a lot of folks that we talk to and look like those executives in the boardroom, this is all new as of 2015, so it's deer in the headlights for a lot of folks. So yes, I think the recognition is that it's going to happen. It's happening. It needs to happen, but it really is in some respects the eighth inning, and other respects it's the first inning.
And I love the way that you guys are seated, because it's sort of like, you know, you got Chris over on the other end, who sort of represents the world of
the old
cable,
stodgy cable world.
And I don't want to specifically set you in that area, and Alana, who represents sort of the interactive online world, you know, and in the middle we have Greg, who is sort of has been, you know, over the last many years been my partner in crime in the data interoperability world and in the world of standards, and we've been talking about cross-platform for all these years, and we've talked about breaking down silos, and you know, in your new role at Team, you're certainly looking at things in a very different way. And in the Ad Consortium, you're looking at things in a very different way. So are the silos down?
No. And we are, I think, taking a stab at the ones that existed. But I think we're building new silos. And actually, if you think about a marketer today, they're faced with a support ecosystem and agencies that are being funded by friction, and the staff that are having to deal with these silos. So there's some part of the ecosystem that doesn't actually want to take these down because it affects the revenue. And if you think about the world of digital and programmatic, you would think that actually it would be quite straightforward, right? I have an ad, I have a plan.
I apologize in advance for that.
Sorry. And I should be able to execute against that plan with all of these tools and platforms that we've built. And yet across the entire ecosystem, it's complicated. I'll take a simple area of just paying the talent in an ad, and that's, you know, what we do at Team across, you know, all channels, and it's unbelievably complex. People actually forget about the fact that along the way we actually have to track where an ad runs, when it runs, how many times it runs, and then pay somebody or people that are in that ad. We have to make sure that we have access to the rights of the elements in that ad. So we've got rights management, we've got you know, tracking talent on session and residuals across multiple channels, and none of these channels communicate, and none of the data communicates, and most of the information we receive at Team still today is paper, email, PDFs, handwritten notes from reports that are generated from traffic systems or agencies that do not work with one another. So couple that with where we're going, both in call it traditional broadcast and digital, with dynamic ad insertion. Now it becomes even more complex. And I know we weren't going to bring it up, but dynamic ad building.
And so, we'll get there. We're going to spend a little more time on dynamic ad building.
But we are in the panel. I am in the middle, literally. And we are in the middle, and probably a good place to be.
So I want to, we've heard it from all three of our panelists, this distinction between the legacy media and digital media. And usually in every presentation that I do, I have a slide that says everything is digital. The reality is the divide between what was legacy media, terrestrial media, whether we're talking about broadcast or whatever, all of that is coming down from a figurative standpoint. And when we look at, the Alana and the IAB have come out with a protocol, which I think will change the way that we look at the industry. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but the video ad serving template is something that is not just about the interactive world anymore. It is about the on-demand universe. And we're moving very rapidly from a world of linear consumption of content to an on-demand model of consumption. So first things first, Alana, why don't you spend a minute talking about the video ad serving template?
Sure, or VAST, as we affectionately call it. We have a new version of VAST. It's VAST 4. And what VAST 4 is a homage to the television and cable world. We're bringing in the concept of mezzanine file, which to digital is very new. And nobody has upgraded to VAST 4 yet in our industry. It takes a very long time for digital folks to upgrade systems. But at the end of the day, what it is, if you don't know what it is a protocol that determines the file formats. It's a superhighway for assets to be delivered from point A to point B. It supports things like server-side stitching. Mezzanine file has everything in there, as you guys know. It comes from your world. And we're thinking about things like how we include scripts. So there's another component to VAST, which is vPage. It's separated out. But it brings in all of the configuration and all the JavaScript files to complement the VAST protocol.
So everybody thinks about when something has a label that comes from the IAB or from the IAB Tech Lab, it's all about the interactive world, the mobile world. The reality is, so when I talk to the people in Chris's world, in the world of cable video on demand, we're starting to see a movement towards this same kind of internet protocol delivered ads. So talk a little bit about the transition that you see going on in the cable video on-demand space.
Sure. So the people that don't know, Canoe is in cable VOD. So when you go to Comcast or Time Warner Cable, you press an on-demand show from any network, the ad goes in. That's going through our cable infrastructure. So that's what we do. We've had four phases to that. We've been doing it for 4 years now. And we're coming around to phase four, which is actually based on VAST and standards that way. We started 4 years ago on phase one, which was a very closed cable lab spec system. And we did that just to be able to have the programmers and the cable operators prove that you can make money in advertising from on demand. Right? It was like, here's a little microcosm. You have this entity, can you make money off of doing? In other words, get off the linear juice, and can you make money from VOD? The answer has been a resounding yes, and it's given programmers and cable operators the confidence to sort of, okay, we got to phase one and stood this thing up and started to make money, didn't get burned. Got to phase two, which was interoperability in the first level. Got to phase three, which we're really in the middle of now, which is more interoperability. And In 2017, we'll move to phase four, which is really integrated with digital servers. So we've taken the old stodgy cable system right now through Canoe, and we've managed to integrate with digital systems like Freewheel, with digital systems like Google Dart for Publishers and Syntec and others. So really in that operability. So we're, like I said, you know, in some aspects for us, you know, we're in phase four. It's the eighth inning. We're almost there to interoperability. But for others, it's confusing, and it's a new way, and it's vast, and all those sorts of things.
Can I just, it's funny, because everyone talks about cable and uses the words like stodgy and old and legacy. I will tell you from my perspective, I'm making my team and I'm making our members understand what you guys have built, because at the end of the day, it's actually way more mature than what we have, which is not mature at all. So, you know,
Can we just savor that comment for a minute? Because we live in a world where, and I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it, the 20-year-olds who run ad operations in the interactive world say, we know everything, we can't learn anything from the old, linear, stodgy world. The reality is when we have people leading the IAB Tech Lab who say things like that, there is hope for our industry. So thank you, Alana.
And Harold, I'd actually add a couple things. One is what they're doing is what Scott was talking about, which is laying the groundwork for the standards and agreeing, right? So there's an agreement and a process flow there.
Right.
But they are addressing one half of the equation, which is the content, which is great. And you think about the complexity of creating a masterpiece of content and getting it to, you know, 8,000 destinations in broadcast and unbelievable, you know, destinations in a digital form. It's complicated. But we're missing the other side, the transactions that drive, you know, when and where it plays. And I think that's the other side of the equation that's never been really addressed properly.
And Greg, you know, that's exactly where I want to go. Because if you think about it today, you know, the infrastructure that we have built in the world of advertising really drive towards the linear model. And that linear model is slowly on the decline. The terms that we're hearing a lot are dynamic ad insertion and addressable advertising. So, Greg, glad that you brought it up. So how do dynamic ad insertion change the work that you do, specifically at Team, but then spend a minute talking about the ad consortium and the members of the ad consortium and how that changes their role?
Well, for us right now, anything digital, dynamic ad insertion, et cetera, for now, is actually fairly straightforward. It's a buy-out. It's not like broadcast where you're actually having to worry about reuse. Will that change? Probably not. It's too complicated, I think, for the industry to deal with that. They tried a while ago and never really got anywhere with it. But what we've done with Team is interesting. We started with this pain point that we had internally, and we saw our clients having around... For Team, it was taking those traffic reports and turning them into talent advices for payment on reuse. It was manual. And we wondered if there was data that we could actually get our hands on that was some form of a standard. And the other area we kept running up against was the area of rights management, and many of our clients not actually really having the ability to track it and then tying that into reuse and renegotiation, et cetera. So we looked around the industry, and we found a few founding partners, actually, that really had seen similar issues and agreed to get together and use existing standards or selecting something that where it became the standard to enable it. So the two areas that we focused on initially, AdID obviously has been a huge, huge benefit. It's the single piece of information we can all rely upon today for most of our marketers. And the other was a little-known company for most people. Not even a lot of our marketing clients even are aware of them, a company called ECN. They're based in L.A., and they had started actually issuing traffic instructions by fax and then email to stations in a standardized format. That email became an XML document, and when we interrogated the XML document, we looked at it and said, interesting. It has all of the data we need for reuse and repayment. And so we decided, could we use the ECN XML file as a standard? We went to Comcast and AdStream, two of the largest distribution companies who actually use ECN, and that file is now flowing from those companies when they do distribution to Team for reuse and repayment. So one of the things now that we've addressed is that rekeying of that data. The other in rights management, we're sitting on top of a huge rights management database inside a team because that's what we do. And we decided to create an open API where both AdStream and Comcast, the two founding partners with us along with ECN, could access it. Now, if you're using Comcast or AdStream for distribution and you go to distribute an asset, using the ad ID, it'll interrogate our database and inform the person distributing the asset, hang on a second, you may want to talk with team because the rights aren't actually approved beyond this date. So little simple things like that that we've been able to do have actually given us some hope. And I think also expanding the ad consortium to take in a larger ecosystem on the transaction side as well as the content side will really help things move along. And we're not in the business of creating standards if we don't have to. We'll accept anybody's standard. And I think if somebody's got a great idea that we can all share across multiple companies, even if they're competitors, in the example of AdStream and Comcast, they compete in distribution. But they got together relative to using these standards and integrating across the ecosystem. So I think there's some hope there. When it comes to dynamic ad insertion, again, right now for us, it's not as complicated as you would think. I do think it's complicated on the rights piece. And I do think it's complicated when you go beyond just an individual asset being distributed to elements that are created for dynamic ad building. That's when it becomes a little complex. And with ad ID, one of the things we found, and this is an important thing, by always, I think, looking at master data and understanding, is it evolving with the ecosystem? We've actually had to add a couple of fields to ad ID, right, Harold? It's going to be out later this year, that allow you to define between a master and a variant. And if you think of a spot that has multiple tags, you might have different voiceovers, different calls to offer, whatever, it may or may not be a different commercial relative to who gets paid. So our biggest question at team for our clients is it a commercial? Yes or no, that's a big thing. And the next thing is it a unique commercial that needs another payment? Is it a different talent payment, effectively? And so along the way, we've had to evolve ad ID, but we've been able to get parties to agree on the problem and using existing standards. So.
Right, and the idea here is that we're building the technologies in line with the business process, starting to understand that the technologies that we have the right technology platforms. The good news is VAST is quickly gaining universal acceptance, and to Alana, to your point, and to some points that were made yesterday at the AdOps Summit, now it's getting acceptance, now it's got to get adoption. And we were starting to see unique identification, whether it's unique identification of ads through Ad ID, whether it's unique identification of the long form content through EIDR. We've got to get there. And Scott talked about that in his presentation. The layer before that, and I wanted to sort of build these layers sort of from the back forward, because we really need to understand interoperability is the important piece of the content. But the front end to all of this is getting the right message to the right consumer, addressability. What progress have we made, and this is more to Alana and to Chris, what progress have we made in terms of advancing addressability? And one of the things, and Bill Harvey and I talked about this a little bit earlier, how do we make sure that in an addressable environment we're getting the right message to the right consumer without overexposing that consumer?
Without freaking them out?
Yeah.
We had our baseball analogies earlier. I think we do obviously have the technology to target individuals within the OTT and digital world. The issue is a couple of things. One, as we start converging, I hate that word, but I'll use it anyway, the data that we have in digital does not match the terrestrial world in many ways. Naming convention, that was a great slide, by the way. That naming convention slide, I want to steal it from you, because, thank you. It's our world as well, as you know. It's crazy, right? So as we are progressing and as we're coming together as industries, we're Wild West right now. We'll show an ad to someone, but God knows what it is, and God knows if it's addressable. I'm being honest, right? Mm-hmm. We're on step one.
And obviously, from our point of view, we come at it the other way, right? You've got someone pins it at a $90 billion industry, you can't put at risk. So that's why people need to take these, you know, baby steps. As far as addressability, we're at about 1.52% of the television market is addressable at this point. The work that people have done, and there's certain agencies like Amodi Media or Starcom MediaVest that are more progressive than others. They are in the space. They work with folks like DirecTV, Dish, Comcast. So they're doing, I'd call it more than tests, because it's real world stuff and it's real households, and they're bringing back household ID and device ID and doing it for real. The issue is that it is hard, it is tedious, it is expensive, which is the other issue here. When you start to bring in people's data sets and needs to be homogenized and everything, that there's an expense to that. So people, that's basically what a lot of agencies are doing right now, is weighing out, just going, am I better off spending this extra money and higher cost and doing this targeting and addressability, or am I better off just spraying over broadcast? So that sort of work's going on right now, and it will help figure out, navigate where addressability goes. So there's folks really figuring it out in real time.
And most agencies, the addressable TV groups are two people, or a little bit bigger, depending on where you are, and then the broadcast teams are much bigger, right? So
now we start to get into some of the fun stuff of, if you start thinking about getting the right message to the right consumer at the right time in the right place, now all of a sudden we start to think about the creative message. And another buzz term in the industry is dynamic creative, you know, where you've got a core piece of creative, and depending on the consumer, depending on the data you've got, you can swap out elements. Sounds pretty complicated. What are the challenges in dynamic creative, and how do we address those challenges of dynamic creative?
So we're still fighting about the spot length in digital, I mean, 15 versus 30. So, and now Facebook, if you look at the Facebook ads, the autoplay video ads that they have, some of them are 3 minutes long, right? People are actually watching them and engaging with them. There's one, it's a photo book. It's a mom. I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook. And everyone loves it, and they're sharing it. So we have an issue, forget about dynamic creative for a second, we have an issue just accepting assets from the broadcast world and porting them into digital and having them work. Right? People are putting them in pre-roll, they're putting them before 15-second or minute-long videos, and it's mismatched and it's a mess. So we need to figure that out, as well as dynamic creative.
Greg, you wanted to go there.
Oh, okay, we're there. So, I mean, every agency that's ever pitched a piece of business has said, we're going to be able to deliver this, and they show the scene from the Minority Report when he walks into the mall, and I know it verbatim, it's John Anderton walked into the mall, and there's ads running along the wall.
Probably just have that somewhere in the pocket somewhere and just show it on screen every time somebody calls for it.
And it's, there's a Guinness ad. Hey, John Anderton, you look thirsty, you could use a Guinness, and you're tired, maybe you could have a Lexus, and there was an American Express ad, etc. And later on, he goes into a Gap, and he's had his eyes replaced, because that's how they tracked you then, think cookies. And he had Mr. Yakimoto's eyes. And he walks into the Gap and goes, oh, hello, Mr. Yakimoto. Do you like that sweater you bought last time? He's like, Mr. Yakimoto. So obviously, he was on someone else's computer in our today's analogy. But you have to think about the entire ecosystem. So when you start to put together a plan and a strategy and a platform for a brand, you're going to start to create creative content. And media agencies have really, I think, been driving this, where they'll create a matrix based on a bunch of personas and targets that they're going after, layered on top of, let's say, a base ad. And that matrix of elements then have to be produced by the agency in the production company, tagged, organized, and shoved at somebody who can actually take that base core asset, let's say, in a simple example, with the elements that are tagged, and based on certain criteria, where, when, et cetera, maybe where they are in the journey on the brand, add one or multiple of those elements to that core creative and serve it up. That's what we're all shooting for, ultimately, really. And so we have actually created a bit of chaos in that we don't use any standards for any of that, right? There's no standards for the metadata of the elements, another ad ID thing we're going to have to talk about. But ultimately, that's what we really need, and we never think about it because we're too busy trying to keep the revenue flowing and keeping our businesses running and our little silos of what we do every day in our own individual business, as opposed to how we can contribute to that ecosystem along the way. And so that's the challenge, I think, in the future, is really thinking down to the element level that will ultimately give us the ability to stitch it together, track it, measure it in terms of a return on investment, and to the point earlier about the expense. It's expensive because we haven't actually thought about the master data, to Scott's point. They spend a lot of time figuring out the data. Is it worth it? Well, that time is blowing away the return on that investment to a certain degree.
So, Chris, I remember one of the very first things that I did when I came to the agency business here in New York was I met the guys at Visible World, and they were doing dynamic creative 20 years ago, and you know, has that art advanced? You know, Greg talked about a lot of challenges. Alana, as always. There's a practical point here. You know, we've got to get that universal, you know, sort of piece of creative moving across. But the reality is we've been doing dynamic creative for a long time.
Yeah, right. That's that eighth inning sort of scenario. And the only way it starts to financially be worth it if you have the systems in place and it's scalable. Right. It's remained at that same 1 or 2%. Yes, a few more brands, all of that, but it's basically remained stagnant, and it's because, like, back to, yes, now there's recognition, yes, if I do addressability and do it across cable, across satellite, and across digital, then the scale starts to make sense to the economics, right? So we're on the right path, but we're certainly not there yet.
Okay, so I want to make sure that if there are any questions in the audience, I want to address those. Ed.
All right. So you're all official.
Hello, 1, 2.
Thanks, good panel. Oh, hey, Ed Carey with Dun & Bradstreet. So, Alana, you and I know each other. I'm a digital kid. I'm sitting here.
Older than 20 years old, though.
I am. But I'm getting up there. I'm listening to Chris, and I only understand 50% of what he's actually talking about. I read this pamphlet, and it's talking about digital supply chains, and I'm like, what do you mean digital? Who are these companies? What are they talking about? And who is going to translate all this stuff? I mean, you're in a unique position. You see it. Worlds are converging. There's data on TV. That's a new thing. You say some words, and I don't really know what you're talking about, so I'm going to retreat to my world and say the TV guys don't get it. Who's going to systems integrate this stuff? Who are the translators? Is it the agencies? Is it Accenture? Is it you? Like, who is going to help me, and who's going to help him figure this out?
Let me start. We do have, there's a number of different groups out there that are working together. So we have a group, and we're inviting everyone to join, and we're also joining other groups that are already extant. Our group is the engineering group, so we have the cable folks from Scuddy. We have NEBA and Clyde, when we have other folks to try to figure out this from a tech perspective.
The 4As and ANA from a business process standpoint.
Yeah, 4As, ANA, Ad ID, and more. I mean, there's a lot, and there's more coming. So from that group's focused on file format, metadata, because you mentioned metadata, and what happens with us is we get that asset with data nicely embedded into it, and the assumption is we can target it, and our ad servers have no idea what that is, and they're like, they barf. Right? So things like that, that's what we're working on. Now, that's only the tech piece. There has to be a business translation piece that we haven't thought about fully yet. Right? We're trying to think about the actual underlying technology, and I wonder if you want to add to it. You wanted to talk.
Yes, standards, absolutely all of that, important, necessary. What we do at Canoe on a daily basis, I think I have a little Band-Aid here. That's what we do all day long. we just Band-Aid. Again, back to our charter is make the current stuff work, make it work day in and day out, and don't screw up linear TV while you're at it. So, for instance, I mentioned how, you know, we have an integration with Freewheel and with Google DSP. But first, we had business folks who got in a room and sort of worked through the business language a little bit, then put the engineers in the room. Oh, yeah, they were talking through each other for probably about 2 months. Right, one was talking Greek, the other one was talking Russian, the other one was talking Chinese, Eventually, we just sort of found a place just by putting everyone in the room and working through it. So at this point, yeah, I think there's two things, both the standard sort of thing, and then there's definitely folks on the day-to-day business who it's just get them in the room. We need to get this integration done because our common programmer or our common customer told us to. So there's just that aspect of it, which I think is where you were going, was things are getting better, but in some ways they're getting worse because some folks are just solving for their day-to-day issue. So you need to be careful of, you got to keep both in mind. But yes, I'm going to stand it up, but we've got to keep an eye on where we need to
go. We've
done
it before, though. I mean, you wouldn't know this, but back in 2004, there was an organization under the forays called eBiz for Media, which Harold and I were part of. And I know it's, you know, 14 years ago that we started working on this, but at the time, there were no standards for moving invoices and estimates between stations and agencies. None. And it became a big problem in spot TV. And so we got together. We formed an organization between stations, agencies, marketers, et cetera. And we created the standards. And they were never used. And then something happened. Kathy Crawford, who was at Mindshare at the time, wrote a letter to stations and said, if you don't send me invoices electronically, I'm not buying your station. It happened. It automatically happened. Then we moved on to cable. Cable was a disaster because their optimization tools at every agency was so far ahead of everything else that you hit the little black box, you put all the requirements in, bink, buy more cable. Awesome. And the CAB at the time it was called had done a great job at validating the metrics, the measurement of the delivery, but had no standards. No one was using the standards. All the estimates coming back to the agencies and the invoices were paper, emails. And so you had staff plans that were baked, an increasing volume of cable transactions, buyers sitting at their desks, not enough time to actually deal with them. They'd come into work on a Friday, trying to get home Friday night to watch their kid's soccer game, 5 o'clock going, I don't have enough time. I'll just discrep all this stuff on Monday, which is what they did. And the inventory utilization at the cable networks was going into the toilet. So we had a meeting with the executives from the cable networks and said, you can either watch your inventory utilization go down or it can go up. If it's 85, would you like it to be 90? 5 points in inventory at a cable network? Huge. So they agreed, and away we went. So this has happened before in the transaction side in the complex world of spot, national, and cable. We certainly can do it today. It's a lot what Chris said and what's being said here today in terms of getting people in the room and getting past the multiple languages and, frankly, the multiple agendas and the distractions of our day-to-day.
Other questions from the audience? Just one. Do we have time for one more question from the audience?
I think we're done.
Sorry. Thanks, everyone.
Great way to end it, though. Thank you.
Thanks for the time.
Greg, Chris, Alana, Harold. Great panel. Fantastic. Sorry we have to move along.